I appreciate the service, and I appreciate each and every one today. I hope that I can come before you in the grace and in the humility of one who's been saved by the grace of God. When I was a kid, whenever the Easter would come, and my uncle happened to be the Sunday school superintendent, and he would lead the service, kind of going for us to go into Sunday school. So he called his kids up front, and he said, now I'm going to ask you kids a question. We're studying Easter, and one of the disciples of Jesus was a man named Peter. And so he asked this question, who was Peter? Nobody answered. He asked it again, who is Peter? Nobody answered. And finally he said, all right, somebody answer me. Who was Peter? And I piped up and I said, I think he was a rabbit. Well, I didn't get that right. And I didn't get an award for it, as you can imagine. But we are so thankful today for this day. It's Resurrection Day. A day whenever the cross was empty. The crown of thorns was set aside. And a stone was rolled away. And that's our hope. That's our testimony. That's our faith. That's where that it all pivoted. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the first chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, written by the Apostle Paul, the fifth or sixth of his epistles, third missionary journey, and he wrote this from Corinth. You can see references to it in 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. They study this book very carefully because Paul makes an argument for the grace of God. In that day and in that time, there were men that came into the church that began teaching that, yes, we are saved, but we've got to keep the law of Moses, particularly circumcision, and how easily that the church could have gone off into a different direction than we know it today. But we find today that Paul sets it all in order in this, and the very first thing that he does is to lay down the foundation for our faith. In the first verse of the first chapter of the book of Romans, we find these words. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And this last verse will be our text that we will try to, by God's help, speak from. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Notice what it says there in that last verse that we read in your hearing. It's not by the morals that Christ taught, though they were good. It's not by a faultless life that he set before us by his own example. But what is our faith today based upon? It's based upon the fact that there is an empty tomb. Do you believe that today? I believe there's an empty tomb. I believe they'll never find the body of Christ until they stand before him in judgment one way or the other, being either saved or being lost. But all eyes shall behold him. Even they that pierced him shall see him someday. He is not here. the message came, he is risen from the dead. Who could ever imagine such a thing? The Jews stumbled upon him as a stumbling block. The Jews were confused by it because it did not fit their logic. But we find today that Christ Jesus has risen from the dead, and in the triumph of redemption, this is the capstone. That is the foundation of our salvation today. I thought when Brother John was speaking about if Christ be not risen from the dead, then we're still in our sins. If Christ be not risen from the dead, there is no resurrection in hope for us. But thanks be unto God, there were witnesses unto the fact that Christ arose from the dead. There were the women that came to anoint his body after that he was buried. He was taken down from the cross so that they would not violate the Sabbath law of leaving a body upon a cross or upon a tree, if you will, whenever that the evening time came. So he was taken down hurriedly, wrapped within wrapping. Then he was placed in a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and there he was for 3 days and three nights. And they came on that morning, glorious morning, I want you to know. And I even wonder and speculate what they were looking for and what they were looking in anticipation of. They came there to anoint his body. It was a loving thing that they were going to do. It was to prolong the corruption that comes upon the human body in death. But when they got there, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And those that were guarding were asleep or were fainted, actually. And they saw that there was no one. He was not there. But they were told by angels several times, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." He's still risen today. He's not dead. You're not going to find his DNA. You're not going to find his body or his remains, because he ascended unto the Father and is at the Father's right hand, even at this very moment. The Old Testament tells us in one place, spoke about this event that would take place. David himself in the 16th Psalm, and I can't remember the verse number, but he said these words, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or in Sheol, but thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." In other words, he was looking down in anticipation, and has been revealed unto him that the Holy One, the Son of God, David's own seed, can you imagine that, according to the flesh, he would not see corruption. He would not decompose. He's not decomposed today. The world can believe whatever that they want to, but I serve a Savior today who's alive, who's from everlasting under everlasting. The Bible tells us over in one place that it's a declaration, as we read in your hearing, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. This proved once and for all that he was Lord over all. He's Lord over creation. But now he has taken the keys of death out of the hands of Satan. And death has no more dominion. It has no power for centuries upon centuries, millennia upon millennia. Men had suffered and had been fearful of death. Now, I'm not exactly just real chippy about dying, but I know where I'm going. And I know because of Jesus. And I know because that he redeemed my soul and saved my soul. And I want you to know there have been times whenever that as a foolish teenager at the age of 18 took dares and came pretty close, but there was no fear. I wasn't looking forward to being in the hospital, But I'll tell you one thing. I thought, if this is it, Lord, I'm ready and I want to see you. But my friend, I want you to know that it is the power of God. It is, my friend, the capstone, if you will, of our faith. Now, I want to kind of go over what was preached early and just kind of reason a little bit. If there is no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope, my prayer is today that it will sink into your mind and into your heart, this really happened. Now, you probably don't get to wondering and kind of questioning, as some people do, but oh, that we can get it within us, that we can have an anticipation of Him coming, that no matter what comes down the road as far as the events in the world, that God has that under control. And there's going to come a time whenever that God says, it is enough, it is over, I'm drawing it all to a close. And then He that sits upon the throne beside of God. Now I want to kind of diverse from that for just a moment. How did He get there? We say that He's at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to realize that over in the 20th chapter of the book of John, as Mary Magdalene, she was actually the first one to see Jesus alive. Who would have thought somebody like Mary would be the one to whom that the Lord would reveal Himself to? But she did. And she stayed behind after that the other disciples and other women left, and she wept and she wept and she wept, because I believe with all of her heart she loved Jesus. I believe she loved Him and He loved her and He redeemed her soul. And she was grateful for the grace and forgiveness that she received from Him. But as she wept at that grave, as she wondered what had happened to His body, there was somebody who walked up, I would say, behind her. And she thought it was the gardener. And she turned, and you know, she did not recognize that it was Jesus Himself. And someone will say today, well, you know, she was with Him so much, and she heard Him teaching, and she heard this and that, and she was just as much attached to Him as the disciples were. But the last time, think with me for just a moment, that Mary saw Jesus, where did she see Him at? Upon a cross. She saw that His visage was marred more than any man, according to what Isaiah says in one place. In other words, His countenance no longer looked like it did before, because He had taken the ravages of sin upon Himself. He had taken the brutality of mankind, the hatred of mankind upon Himself. And you might say, why would an individual do that? It's because that He loves you so much that He was willing to take all that could be thrown at Him for our sakes, for your sakes. And if you're here today and you're lost and you're without God, let me tell you something today. John Bunyan wrote in one of his writings about a man by the name of Christian. It was an allegory. And Christian could not get to the celestial city, heaven, until he came to terms with what was in his path, the cross. Now, I want to tell you something today. At some point in everyone's life, we're going to have to come to terms with the cross. You cannot deny it. It happened. And it happened for you. What will you do with this Jesus then? What will you do with the one that gave Himself? Will you be like Pilate? I want to tell you something. There's not enough water in the world to wash your hands of Jesus. Pilate found out the hard way. My friend, I want you to realize today that He tasted of death, and Mary wept over this very fact that He was gone, and she did not recognize Him. And she looked at Him and thought Him to be the gardener, and she said, you know, if you have taken His body away, please show me where it's at so that I can take it and I can bury His body respectfully. She still didn't recognize him. And also we find that she had been crying. Have you ever cried so hard your eyes hurt? And it's kind of hard to see things? And you're not sure sometimes what you're looking at? I mean, that I would imagine, as we sang in that song, her eyes were just so swollen. I mean, she wept with all of her heart. Her heart was broken. But then something happened. And Jesus spoke. And I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart what it says in the book of Titus, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, or will appear unto all men. I believe that everybody will have an opportunity to be saved and to believe upon him with all of their heart, to repent with all of their heart, and trust in him for their eternal destiny. Now, some will reject him, some will mock him, but they're going to have an opportunity. And no one will stand in the judgment and say, I never heard about this gospel. I never knew what I was supposed to do to go to heaven. You will have opportunity. You perhaps have opportunity today. And he spoke unto her, and no one can speak like Jesus. Have you ever heard Jesus speak? You have. You've heard him from his word. You've heard him from the singing. You've heard him from the prayers. You have no excuse today, but thanks be unto God for those that have taken that step and have sought him with all of their heart, and they hear his voice, and I want you to know his voice is distinct. And it may not be an audible voice. Now, I'm not going to argue with people that say they physically heard the voice of God. I don't know. I know I heard the voice of God right down here within my heart. I heard him speak unto me, and I want you to know he knows you. He knows your faults. He knows your problems, your strifes. He knows the darkness, perhaps, that you've been surrounded with. He knows all about you, and he knew Mary's sorrow. You might say, how did he know? One day, in the 11th chapter of the book of John, he stood at the grave of Lazarus, and he spoke, and before that he did, the Bible said, this was, believe it or not, I did learn some things in Sunday school besides Peter as a rabbit. But he spoke and he said, or it is written that he wept. Jesus wept. Jesus understands all about your sorrows, your troubles, your sacred nearness, your sacred dearness, distance from God. He knows all about you, but I want you to know he did not come to condemn. My friend, he's not here to condemn. Thanks be unto God. He's here, my friend. He said, I've come not to condemn the world, but I have come to save the world, that through me they might believe. I've come not to minister unto the righteous, but I've come to call all unto repentance, righteous and unrighteous today. He spoke, and Mary recognized his voice. And suddenly her eyes were opened. And you know what he said to her? He just called her by name. He'll call you by name. And he cares about each and every one of you. He does. I don't know how to make it any plainer. I don't know how to put it in a way that it would just break through your heart and break through your mind to realize how much that he cares and he loves. He cares about you whenever that you have problems, when you have tragedies in your life. He cares about you today when you're sick. He cares about you today when you've lost loved ones. He knows what it is to lose a loved one. He knows what it is to be lonely. The Bible says in one place that Jesus himself said, birds of the air have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Yes, he was homeless. And he made acquaintance with what we would call the drugs of society. He was not ashamed to be identified by the Pharisees and such as eating with publicans. Now, I didn't say Republicans. I say publicans. He was not ashamed to be identified with the publicans and the sinners and the harlots and the thieves and those that were diseased with leprosy. Do you know he did not shun lepers? He would embrace them. Leprosy was a very fatal disease, just like sin is. Sin is a fatal disease that has no cure. But I want you to know there's a cure in Jesus Christ today. And thanks be unto God whenever that he spoke her name, Mary. He spoke my name one time, Paul. Shirley. Ron. Linda. All of you. Mary. And she responded unto him. She said, Rabboni, Rabboni, which is Aramaic for rabbi, master, teacher, all of those things. And oh, how she wanted to touch him. Oh, how she wanted to just go and embrace him. She realized he had been resurrected. No, he did not just merely come forth from the grave. He was resurrected. There was not a scar. There was not anything upon his visage as she recognized him that would identify him in any other way. Now, the only scars, and we're going to see him someday, that he will have in heaven. I like that song that says, the only man-made thing in heaven today is what? Scars in his feet and in his side and in his hands. And you know what that will do? That'll remind us of how that we got to heaven. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Spirit. That's how that we are made acceptable unto God and how that we come unto him. And he said, he that cometh unto me, he said, I will not turn him away. He's never turned one away that has come to him and asked him for peace, to ask him for joy, for assurance today. But oh, she wanted to touch him. Oh, she wanted to embrace him. But she couldn't. And Jesus said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto the Father. He had not taken the blood into the holiest of all. Because you see, according to the pattern shown unto Moses in the mount under the law, no vessel that contained the precious redeeming blood of a pure sacrifice could be touched by anyone except for the high priest. But oh, he was going to take it into the very holiest of all. And you mean in Jerusalem? No. I'm going to tell you what. That had already been done away with. The veil had been rent in twain. Now man could come unto God. But Jesus took unto his Father the precious blood that he had shed. And I want you to know that in the Spirit, when you come unto God, that's who anoints your heart and soul. Can you imagine the homecoming that he had whenever that he came into the presence of Almighty God? I've digressed. Can you imagine the homecoming, the celebration that was in heaven? He had won the victory. He had won the battle. He had crushed the head of the serpent, as it says over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That had been completed. Praise be unto God. Satan has lost. And you might say, well, he's still rampaging around. You know, whenever he bothers you, go over, and I keep telling you this, go over into the last few chapters of the book of the Revelation and see what happens to him. And God cast Satan into the lake of fire. That's his end. He's already defeated. But he came in. And what a celebration that must have been. He was victorious. He's done what no other could do. You imagine coming into the throne room of God. All of the angels that surrounded him that Ezekiel saw, that John saw, where that they sing continually, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come." They sing continually there. It's going on right now as they praise and they sing forth gloriousness unto the Son, or unto God. And there he sits, Almighty God, the Father sits upon the throne. And here comes the accepted one through those halls. You might say, "Don't be so dramatic, preacher." Oh, if you think I'm dramatic now, you just wait. Because I want you to know, down that aisle he came towards his Father. And his Father says, "Who is this that cometh with his clothes that has been dipped in blood?" "It's I, Father. It is I," Christ says. "It is I who have completed the plan of redemption. I have beat death. I have defeated it today. And all who come after me, who believe in me, will through me defeat death also. What is that that you have in your hand, my son? What is that that you have in your hand?" "Father, it is the blood I shed upon the cross of Calvary for the redemption of those who will come unto me in that right and acceptable way and will believe with all of their heart upon me." You see, today, you can't just acknowledge Jesus historically. You can't acknowledge Jesus according to some precept that is taught, perhaps by some religious group. My friend, you have to come unto Jesus in the way that it says in the Bible, through faith. Faith in his blood, faith in him. And that blood, my friend, is still just as effective today as it was the day that he shed it. But my friend, it sounds like I'm going back to the crucifixion, doesn't it? Well, I want you to realize today, he overcame death. And the best part about it is, we'll live with him forever. And we will praise him forever. Oh, I want to tell you today, just like the angel told Lot in Sodom, "Hast thou any others that you're concerned about today? Hast thou others?" Take the message to them. Take the message to them that he has conquered death, that the resurrection is real, it's true, it's factual, it's not a fairy tale, it's just as real as can be. My friend, that's how we live from day to day. Paul said, "That's how I get through and accomplish what I can do through Christ. It's because of his resurrection." And Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Someone said, "Boy, you Christians sure have a death wish. You just talk about dying and being with the Lord. What better place to be than to be with the Lord?" But you know, you can enjoy him and his blessings. And my friend, his power and the power of his resurrection, you can enjoy that now. And I want you to know, I don't know anyone's heart. All I can say today is, one day I was just exactly like many that are in the world today. I was lost. I was in darkness. And 2 weeks in August, I thought I was going to die. And I was afraid to die, because I knew something was wrong that separated me from God. Until one day on a Sunday, August the 29th, 1971. You know, it doesn't matter whether you remember the date or not. You just remember something happened. But I just happened to remember that date because it was before school. And I'm about in the back of a store warehouse, lost as could be. And I began calling upon someone I did not know. I did not know. I knew about him. I knew of him. I knew the history of him. But I didn't know him down here. And somehow, bowed between two stacks of peaches, they had the heavy syrup in them. I began to pray. I said, oh God, I may go to hell, but at least I'll go when I know I deserve it. That's when he saved my soul. When you surrender with all of your heart, when you surrender every bit of it to him, he will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Not maybe so, not hopefully so, but Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, we've gone around the world in the Bible, but I hope you got something out of this today. The resurrection is real. Knowing Jesus is real. What Mary experienced is real. And he ascended. He said, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father, unto your God and unto my God. And he's still there today, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. He mediates between us and between God. He's an intercessor. He's an advocate for us. He fills all those roles today. And bless your heart, he's my Savior today. And I don't know of anything else I would rather do than to be here today and to talk about my Savior. So God bless you is my prayer. I hope you have the most blessed of resurrection days and of Easter and all of that sort of thing. I hope God blesses you abundantly, beyond measure. And as you go away, just remember this. But also, remember that. God bless you.